Welcome to Ringside with AFD, presented by Mile High Sports. I'm coming to you Saturday, early in the evening, here in Denver, Colorado, just hours after leaving practice at Family Sports and heading home to write something about the return of Jonathan Drouin. This is something I was talking with my colleague Colleen Flynn about over at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. And we wanted to do something on Jonathan Drouin. And, you know, for those who haven't seen the news, he's expected to be back on Tuesday against the Winnipeg Jets, most likely, but they're just kind of going to see how it goes. The Avalanche have a day off Sunday. They practice Monday. So the goal is for Drouin to play Tuesday. And when we talked to Jared Bednar today, I asked him outwardly, straight up, like, Drouin's coming back. You got Parker, Kivirant, and O'Connor just playing excellent hockey together. But that's pretty much all the team has. They don't really have a fourth line. Giovanni Smith, Yuri, and Ala. One's been sent down. The other one didn't play in the third period. Hell, both didn't play in the third period. Chris Wagner's come and gone. And you've got a lot of depth guys in and out of the lineup. Not really giving you much on that fourth line, I should say. And I was curious about Ross Colton because he hasn't quite produced the way that he did before his injury. And the Avalanche need centers. They need depth. And I figured, you know, Jonathan Drouin coming back, Mittelstadt, Rantanen, that line, not really clicking yet. Obviously, it's not Rantanen's fault. Mittelstadt's kind of going through it, as Jared has said multiple times over the last couple days. But it kind of made me think, Ross Colton at center has got to be an option, right? Because when he came back in Detroit and we asked Jared, he said, no, it's not an option right now. Right now, the goal is to keep him at, you know, on the wing in the top six because that's where he's been producing. But then it got me thinking, and I wish I dug more into this. It got me thinking, who the hell is going to play on that third line with Ross Colton? If, in the scenario, Jonathan Drouin comes back and he's playing in the top six, and if in that scenario, Ross Colton's your third line center, and also in that scenario, and these are all very realistic scenarios that we're probably going to see in time for New Year's Eve's game against the Winnipeg Jets, and if also in that scenario, Kelly, Kiviranta, and O'Connor are not going to get split up, then who is going to play on that line with Ross Colton? And we got a little bit of an answer there, and I wish I dug a little bit deeper into it. I wish I asked him, because Ivan is obviously a very obvious choice. He's struggled mightily, but you want to see him kind of get back into more of an offensive role, play with more skilled players, and hopefully regain some of that magic he had early in the season. And I wish I dug a little more into that question with Jared Bednar, and I didn't. And then we left Family Sports, and lo and behold, the Avalanche make a trade. But here we are 3 minutes into the podcast. Before I get into that trade, I just want to introduce myself. This is Arif Dean, beat writer at ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster here for Mile High Sports, obviously on the Ringside with Arif Dean podcast, presented by Mile High Sports. The Avalanche made a trade sometime around, I want to say, 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time. They acquired Juuso Parsonen from the Nashville Predators, along with a seventh-round draft pick, originally belonging to the New York Rangers in the 2026 NHL Draft. In exchange, the Avalanche are sending Andre Pavel and a third-round draft pick in the 2027 Draft to the Nashville Predators. So the Avs and the Preds come together again and make what I believe is the fourth trade of the Barry Trotz era, and the Barry Trotz era hasn't even gone for 24 months. It was Ryan Johansson for UFA to be Alex Galchenyuk. It was the Yakov Trenin in a deal that involved a third-round draft pick and the prospect defenseman, whose name right now is escaping me. I hope it comes back to me. Jeremy Hansel. It's obviously Scott Wedgwood and Eustace Anunin switching places with some draft picks involved. And now it's this. It's Colorado upgrading Andre Pavel to Juuso Parsonen and in exchange downgrading a third-round draft pick to a seventh-round draft pick. So pretty decent trade for the Avalanche there. I love the way that they went about this. Juuso Parsonen's a player that I wrote about on December 18, just 10 days ago. This is somebody that I wrote in an article that I put on ColoradoHockeyNow.com titled Pressing Needs, Colorado's Bottom Six Needs Help. And there is no way around it because, again, if this trade's not happening, who's playing with Ross Colton in this scenario that I've created where Miles Wood is injured, You haven't heard back from Gabe Landeskog. Ivan has fallen off. Nikolai Kovalenko was downgraded to Giovanni Smith, who's not really a good fit and has now been reassigned to the Colorado Eagles. Who's going to play with Ross Colton? Well, now we know one of them, and it's Juuso Parsonen. I wonder now if bringing in Parsonen allows you to keep Colton on the wing. I wonder now if you still want to keep Colton on the wing with Juuso Parsonen in the equation. If you asked me a few weeks ago, I would have said that Parker Kelly is this year's Freddie Olofsson. He's the fourth line center that probably won't end the season in part of the top 12, but now I'm really starting to reconsider if that's going to be the case. But I also wonder long term, and by long term, I mean over the next, whatever it is, 45 games before the playoffs, if the goal for the Avalanche is for Juuso Parsonen to be the fourth line center with Kiviranta and O'Connor. You can't split him up right now. You can't take Parker Kelly off that line. And obviously, I hate to throw shade at Parker Kelly and say he doesn't deserve to be in the top 12 because he has been spectacular lately. But I wonder if that's where the Avalanche are going with this. But in the short term, for now, as is usually the case with contenders nowadays in this tight cap-strapped league where, you know, in these 3-4 years of salary cap issues, teams are usually not done until March. It used to be that teams are done and you go out and make them a little bit better. Think the 21-22 Avalanche. That was a team that you're going into the playoffs with and you're feeling comfortable with it. But they still went out and made some moves and made it better. Compare that to last year where they didn't have a second line center until the trade deadline. They had like two lines and it was a first line and a third line in the Colton Wood O'Connor line. They didn't have a fourth line center. They barely had fourth line wingers. It was the same thing the previous year where Matt Nieto getting acquired in February or whatever it was a huge freaking deal because they got a guy that can play hockey games. So that's kind of been how the NHL is rolling right now. Bringing in Juuso Parsonen, it adds to those options that Jared Bednar was talking about. It adds to the fact that you can shift Ross Colton to center, put Juuso on one side, and I guess Ivan on the other side. And now you got three guys who are all comfortable taking faceoffs, playing on this new makeshift third line, or you can put Parsonen on center, put Drouin and Ivan with him, keep Colton in the top six, and really have some options to move around there. And that's what I love about this move. I love the fact that for once, well, not for once, but for the first time in seemingly three, four, maybe five years, the Avalanche have enough centers where it's a center moving to the wing. If you do go with, I don't expect this to be the line heading into the playoffs, but if against Winnipeg, your third line is a combination of Juuso Parsonen on the wing, Ivan on the wing, centered by Ross Colton, those are three guys that you can shift up and down the lineup. If Jonathan Drouin's starting in the top six and he's struggling, well, guess what? You can bring Drouin down, put Parsonen at center, let Drouin play on the left wing, elevate Ross Colton. If Casey Mittelstadt is struggling, you can bring Mittelstadt down. You can put Colton at center. There are so many different things you can do. And yes, Mittelstadt is struggling. And that's a topic for another day. Today, we're talking Juuso. I might get into him a little bit more here. Let's see how long this show goes. But having Juuso Parsonen added to this team is going to be huge for recreating and starting to slowly but surely work on this new bottom six. I think for the Avalanche right now, this move reminds me a lot of the Scott Wedgwood deal in the sense where, you know, heading into that trade for Wedgwood, there's a lot of murmurs that the Avalanche got to do something in the goaltending department. They go out and get Scott Wedgwood, and the very first thing that I wrote about was an article titled Scott Wedgwood Deal Signals More to Come. For the simple purpose of, they didn't go out and trade for a tandem guy to play with Georgiev. They went out and traded for a clear-cut backup, and I said, there's no way in hell on November 30th, the Avalanche felt, you know what we got to do? We got to bring Georgiev a better backup, but still ride with him. No. The fact that they brought a guy who's 32 years old, has never made a playoff appearance, playoff start. He has played playoff games in relief and is a clear-cut backup set to me. There's more coming. They got the backup done. Now they're going to go out and get the starter done. And that's exactly what I figured would happen. That's exactly what happened. I'm going to admit I didn't expect it to happen in 9 days or whatever. But I do know that that was kind of part of the equation there when they brought in Wedgwood. This deal reminds me of that in the sense where you can tell Chris McFarland's working on his bottom six here, but you can tell it's still an unfinished product. There is a big, fat, giant question mark still involved in all of this, and that's, of course, Gabriel Landeskog, because him coming back obviously shores up your top nine in one way or another. And I don't have any updates on him. It's the same old, and I'm not going to waste a lot of time talking about that. But between now and March 7th, what the Avalanche do is going to tell us a lot about Gabe Landeskog's status. You know, we are 2 months and 9 days away, or something along those lines, from the trade deadline. Let me do the math better in my head. 2 months and 10 days. In 2 months from now, well, actually, no, 2 months and a week, because February is only 28 days. In 2 months from now, it'll be February 28th, and we will be a week away from the deadline. So, you know, in the scenario where Gabe Landeskog's coming back, or in the scenario where the Avalanche are not counting on him coming back, and he would just be a bonus upgrade to the team if he just so happens to show up in April or May or whatever the hell, Juuso Parsson is a step in the right direction, but it's not the only move they're going to make. I just don't think that's all they have planned. You know, Miles Wood is month to month, but Miles Wood hasn't had a great season. In fact, Miles Wood to me is someone that by now probably would have been traded had it not been for his injury. And I do think whether it's March 7 or whether it's June or July or August, I do believe this is going to be the last season Miles Wood plays with the Avalanche. I felt it since he signed the contract. I think Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic both had the same expectation there when they, you know, put together that deal. And it was, we add more term, like McFarland admitted when he met with media following that contract. We add more term to the deal and we make it so that we can bring the number down to $2.5 million. Because if you look at the structure of Miles Wood's contract, $2.5 million over 6 years, he's making $6.5 million of that in the first 2 years of his contract. So $15 million total. He's making $3.25 last season. Or sorry, I should say he made $3.25 last season. He made or is making $3.25 this season. And then the remaining $8.5 million is split over 4 years. So he's going to average out $2.125 million over the next 4 years. His no-trade clause kicks in year three. It says to me, the Avalanche said, we're going to get this guy for 6 years at $2.5 million cap hit, but only $6.5 million of actual dollars. And then when we trade him to a team where the extra $400K doesn't hurt them. And we say, hey, Miles Wood fits your roster for $2.12 million per year for the next 4 years. And teams will say, yeah, absolutely. Like if Miles Wood was a UFA this summer, even with the injuries he's gone through, even with the tough play he's had this year, there is no reason to believe he can't go out there and get a four-year $8 million contract, four-year $8.5 million contract, or hell, 3 years $8.5 million contract. So I don't think it's going to be tough to trade him. But going back to that, you know, Miles Wood is still an option. He might play the season. Like, I'm not by any means counting him out before March 7. I'm just saying he makes the most sense as the guy to trade, especially if you want to go out and get another guy. But Gabe Landeskog's a question mark. Miles Wood is a little bit of a wild card question mark here as well, but there's got to be more coming. It's an Avalanche team that now has seven guys who are clear-cut top nine players, and that hasn't changed. It's MacKinnon, it's Rantanen, and it's Drouin. It's Nichushkin, it's Lehkonen, it's Mittelstadt, and it's Ross Colton. But then you got a couple guys in Logan O'Connor, and now Juuso Parsonen, who it's like, are these guys third liners or fourth liners? And if they are fourth liners, is it Parsonen, O'Connor, and Kiviranta? Or is it Parsonen, Kelly, and Kiviranta? And O'Connor's in the top nine. And then you got the wild card that is Miles Wood, who for the most part has played only in the Avalanche's top nine. Granted, I think now he deserves to be on the fourth line. But then you got the wild card in Gabe Landeskog. There's just a lot of moving parts here that says to me, you know, the Jake Evans, the Morgan Frost, the Yanni Gord, the insert random player name here, kind of like I did with Juuso Parsonen 10 days ago, and it ended up being the thing. It still feels like the Avalanche need one more of those guys. who do they go out and get? Do they get another center and have more of that whole options thing that Jared Bednar talked about today? Or is this a scenario where you got Ross Colton, you got Yusso Parsonen, you got Parker Kelly? Those are, with Mittelstadt and McKinnon, five guys that you trust to play center. Now you want to get a bunch of wingers, and then you can kind of move it around. You know, if both Kelly and Parsonen are playing good enough to say we're going to be the third and fourth line centers, well, now Ross Colton's a winger. If not, Ross Colton's a center. Maybe Kelly and Parsonen are playing together. Maybe Kelly is playing with O'Connor and Kiviranta, and Parsonen is a 13th forward, or vice versa. Parsonen is playing with O'Connor and Kiviranta, and Parker Kelly's the 13th forward. Either way, a lot of depth, a lot of options. All of it's starting to make sense. But what this does to me, it goes back to my initial point. It reminds me of the Scott Wedgwood deal. The Avalanche clearly needed to remake their goaltending position. They went out and got Scott Wedgwood, and that to me said, there's more coming. The more came 9 days later was Mackenzie Blackwood. So here we are now. Yusso Parsonen has walked in through the door. I believe he'll probably play on Tuesday. I do want to double check to make sure he doesn't have an injury or anything like that. But this guy walks into your lineup. Jonathan Drouin, all but guaranteed at this point. Pretty sure he's coming back as well. And then from that point on, it's just a matter of, you know, figuring out the inner workings of this lineup. It's Ross Colton at center, I'm assuming. Parsonen on the wing. Ivan on the other wing. That just, to me, makes the most sense. So I'm really loving where the Avalanche are going here. I'm loving the fact that we are at the point now, suddenly, randomly, 24 hours after they beat Utah Hockey Club, we are randomly at the point now where your 12th best forward in the lineup is Ivan. This is coming on the heels of a game where Jovani Smith and Yuri Inala didn't play in the third period. Jovani Smith and Yuri Inala both had minor penalties in the first two periods and did not play in the third. So I love this deal for the Avalanche. I love that it's also connected to the return of Jonathan Drouin. I love that the Avalanche are about to start a four-game homestand. The vibes are absolutely immaculate. The winds are pouring on. The confidence is up. And suddenly you've started to restructure. You've started to do that thing where you're starting to renovate that bottom six, remake it, and really give yourself options to use against a strong team like the Winnipeg Jets and beyond from there. So on that note, I'm going to put an end to the podcast here. Again, it is Saturday, December 28th. I'm going to have another show on Sunday. I'm going to kind of do a weekly roundup, as you've noticed. I didn't do any episodes during the Christmas holiday break. This is my first one in a week. But there's been a lot that's happened since. You know, we have some games to break down, which I did not do at all in this episode. We also have a giant contract extension for the guy who 19 days ago wasn't even on the team in Mackenzie Blackwood. We're going to talk about all that on Sunday. But for now, if you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Please make sure you follow me on Twitter/X at RunRightArif. Go ahead and follow Colorado Hockey Now COL Hockey Now, Call Hockey Now on Twitter as well. Subscribe to Colorado Hockey Now as a CHN Plus member. If you don't want to subscribe, you can just visit ColoradoHockeyNow.com. 80% of the content on the website by yours truly is free content. Get all your Avalanche news there. Get your notifications. Subscribe to the emails, which is free. And let's see what the Avalanche do here from the holiday break over the next 2 months and 1 week until the trade deadline. And then from there, for the final push toward the playoffs. If you made it this far in the show, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.